For the last several weeks, God has been showing himself to you, to this congregation. Who gets the credit for it? I don't care who gets the credit for it. It's not human. It's divine. We believe the motto, it is not by might, nor by power, but by my spirit, saith God. I'm going to talk to you just briefly, I think. Leave you wondering about so many issues. Proverbs 29 and verse 18. It's on the board whenever. Where there is no vision, the people perish. Now the rest of it, but he that keepeth the law, happy is he. But the first part rings a bell of reality. Where there is no vision, the people perish. Father, let the things that we say and do be for your glory. Cover us with the anointing of the Holy Ghost. In the name of Jesus, we plead the blood. Glorify your name, Lord God, by encouraging people, strengthening people in their walk. We'll give you the praise in Jesus' name. Just for a few moments, I want to talk to you on without a vision. A vision is something that you cannot see or comprehend with your natural eye. It is a spiritual thing. You see what others can't see. You get into a realm that others maybe don't get into. If you don't have a vision for your life, you won't know when you got to the goals that you should have set. And in the Bible, there are incidents of partial vision where people just had a small vision. A man confronted Jesus and Jesus touched him. And said, what do you see? And he said, I see men as trees. And Jesus did something wonderful. He touched him again. God bless people that have had the first touch. Because you need it, all of us. But don't ever walk away from the cross thinking that that's the only touch there is. I don't know about you. But there's not a day that the sun comes up that I don't know that I need a touch. I need the power. I need the anointing that comes with the touch of Jesus. There's that human vision, not just a partial vision. Elisha and his servant have come to Dothan in the scripture, 2 Kings chapter 6. And it looks formidable. And the servant is full of fear. Because his vision connects with the obvious. His vision connects with what you can see with your natural eye. But God spoke through Elisha and said, open my servant's eyes that he might see. And he opened the servant's eyes and the servant saw the hills full of chariots and horses. He saw what other people could not see. The reason why some of you are holding on to God this morning and you hadn't thrown in the towel is because you've seen what other people around you haven't seen. You've seen that though the journey might get rough, the battle might get hot, but you've had the touch of God in your life and in your mind and heart. Amen? There's a wrong vision, not just a human vision and a partial vision, but there's a wrong vision. 10 spies went into the land of Canaan and come back and they had a vision, they had a testimony, they had a story to tell. But they were telling their story based upon their own human logic. But the word of God says, lean not to your own understanding. Amen. And two of those spies had good eyes just like the other 10 did. But they come back and said, yes, there's giants over there. Yes, there's this and that. But if God wants us to go, we can eat them like children's bread. Amen. Am I talking to you? Hallelujah. You will only go, listen to me, you particularly that were on the platform, you will only go with God as far as your vision determines you. Do you see yourself full of the Holy Ghost? Do you see, you're new in the spirits of God, and you see some people animated, anointed, unctionized, and you think, well, maybe that I'd love that, but that, you know, you have got to expand your vision and see whatever they have, you can have. Am I talking to you? You don't restrict your vision. Say, well, I'm saved and I'll never get any further than that. God wants you to grow and to go. He wants you to grow in the spirit and the grace of God. And he wants you to know God like you've never known. Glory to God. And so we must walk in the scope of our vision. Abraham was told by God to look up and see the stars and try to count them. It's impossible. And then God told, that's Jew. And then God told Abraham, look down and see the sand. And he said, I'm going to make your lineage like the stars in the sky and like the sand on the beach. Amen. Let your vision go deeper and farther than it's ever been. Jesus said to John in chapter 4, lift up your eyes and look upon the fields. They are white under harvest. What he's saying is, you're not looking properly. You're not looking. We drive, go to the shops, and we go to the stores, and we go to businesses, and do we see people or do we see potential converts? There are people on this platform this morning that God's miracle working power worked in their life, and maybe their parents didn't see the end result. Maybe friends didn't see the end results. But God said, I can do something with them. And God corralled them, cornered them. They surrendered to the call of God in their life. Am I talking to anybody? Hallelujah. Jesus touched a blind man's eye and spoke to him. And yes, you can see every man clearly. Now we need to see the enemy. There's some things, and I'm quickly going, there's some things that we need to see. We need to see with understanding. We need to, when I say see, we need to have comprehension. We need to see our enemy. I mean, we need to see the scope of his ability, the scope of his power. What can he do? How does he do what he does? What is his motive? We need to see our enemy. Am I talking to you? God spoke to that enemy in the, listen, I want to tell you, there's no use in wringing your hands about the devil. I'm not being flippant about it. There's no use in you walking around, well, you've got a scowl on your face, and last month you have a smile on your face. That's silly. You don't need to let life determine how you face people. You need to face people with the power of the Spirit of God. Hallelujah. And God spoke to that serpent in the Garden of Eden and said, on your belly. We don't know that prior to that that he ever walked or that ever crawled on his belly. But God reduced him down from some astonishing, beautiful creature to a belly crawler. Am I talking to you? Now listen, Paul said, my God shall bruise Satan under your feet shortly. Did he say it? Hallelujah. Now, I've got blood in my body just like you do. And I don't study the scientific part of it, but the blood that's in my head right now, before I finish talking, is going to be in my toes. And the blood that's in my toes is going to come right back to my head. And it's going to flow, and it's going to do its work of purifying my body. The blood does that. Now, if the blood is in my feet and it's sanctified blood, come on here, it's symbolism. And if it's sanctified blood and temptation comes along, I just put my foot on that temptation. Hello? Trials come along to knock me off. I don't know. I got sanctified blood in my stream. I just put my foot on it. I'm not talking about a writhing snake. I'm talking about the suggestion. I'm talking about the incident. Whatever it is trying to throw you, whatever it is trying to get you down, you got sanctified blood in your bones, in your body, flowing through you. So you just put your foot down on that temptation and say, get out of here. Anybody know that's true? Anybody know? Glory to God. You don't have to be intimidated. You don't have to be aggravated with people just I read the other day where all these, the great things in movies right now is exorcism. You know, where casting out devils and everything. People getting people all kind of, all afraid, intimidated. Symbolism is what we need. We need to cast the devil down. We need to see it. I don't need to see the devil as being some monster. I'm not belittling. I'm not making light. I don't need to see the devil as somebody bigger than God. I don't need to see the devil as somebody more ferocious and more powerful than God. I need to see the devil in the light of what the cross of Jesus Christ did for him. And he whipped him. It dethroned him. It took him down. Oh, glory to God. And when he comes around and tries to harass me or harass you or tempt you or try you, you need to just say, whoa, wait a minute. I don't have to argue with you. I don't have to debate with you. The Bible said, give no place to the devil. Just point him back to the cross. Say, right there is where it was all settled. You were defeated. I stand in the power of Jesus Christ. Am I talking to anybody? Amen. So we need to see we need to see God as he is. I don't care how big your problem is this morning. God is bigger. I don't care how frustrated you are with life. God is bigger. Amen. I mean, all of us has got problems. That's life. I got aggravations that, you know, try to torment my mind. And I just try, whoa, glory to God, put my foot on it, say, in the name of Jesus, I will not ride you around on the free ride. If you're going to ride my back, you're going to hear Jesus. If you ride my back, you're going to hear the power. You're going to hear the blood of Jesus Christ. I just got a feeling after a while when he gets tired of hearing Jesus, he's going to say, let me go find somebody else. He said, in the name of Jesus, you shall cast out devils. And it might be one riding on your back right now. It might be one whispering in your ear right now. What do you do about it? Cast him down. Get out of here, devil. Am I, hello? Hallelujah to God. So we need to get a clear picture of who God is and a clear picture of who the devil is. Amen? God is high. Isaiah saw him said he's high. He's lifted up. And his train fills the temple. He's bigger than your problem. He's bigger than your disease. He's bigger than your addiction. He's bigger than anything that you face. He's a mighty God. He's a big God. He's a capable God. He's an able God. Call upon him. He will answer you and show you what you need to do. He's God Almighty. Hallelujah to God. Is there anything too big for God is what the prophet was asked. No. God answered, behold, I am the Lord, the God of all flesh. Hallelujah. Oh, my God. Does anybody know what I'm talking about? Amen. He fills the universe. He's everywhere. You can't find a place that he's not. He's bigger than the Red Sea. Amen. Oh, they thought that's going to stop these Hebrews. That's going to stop Moses. But God sits upon the throne and controls all the elements. And when Moses lifted the rod of God up, God said, I've been waiting for the signal. And he's bigger than Pharaoh. He's bigger than the Red Sea. He's bigger than Sarah's womb. He's bigger than all than the burning bush. Bigger than the furnace of fire that Shadrach. Bigger than the den of lions. Bigger than what you're going through. He's as big as his word is. Whatever his word said, God is living to back it up, to substantiate it. Whatever his word says, he don't mess around with gray areas. It's clear cut. He said, I will do this. I will answer you. And whatever he said, he come out of the grave in the person of Jesus Christ to back it up. There's people in this auditorium today that the devil told you years ago, you could never be saved. You could never be born again. But you believe God. I look over this audience and I see people that are so dear to my heart, so precious to me through the years. I can remember the night that you came or the day that you came into the church. I can remember how it made me feel. It wasn't me that brought you in. It wasn't us that brought you in. It was something invisible got into your heart. It began to squeeze you. I can remember when Brother Lloyd started visiting. Sister Shirley had already been coming some. And then he started visiting. It's a joy to me. I can remember Kenneth Keats coming with Bozo. I shouldn't have said that. He was coming. coming with Linwood Earl, and something in me said that's a kid, because I could look at him and tell that he was almost exactly old as I was. Common denominator. But it wasn't long. He's a testimony. If you hang around it a while, it's going to get on you. Hell, if you hang around, I remember Jimmy Hedgepeth. Sister Sandy coming in one day, Jimmy showed up. Hallelujah. And he's been showing up ever since then. When you get that show up spirit, you want to show up again. You want to come back. Hallelujah to God. I mean, all over the building, I can reminisce. Mavis, I can remember Mavis started visiting us. Hold your hand up, Mavis, so we know who you are. She started visiting us in this church. But something rubbed off on her. She was already a dedicated Christian, but there's something said you need to go over and fellowship with them good people at Allegood. I get up on Sunday morning, and I look forward. I get up early on Sunday morning, 4:15, 4:20, and I get down here early, and I'm looking forward to fellowshipping with the people of this church. Amen. God blessed it together that we can have victory. I can remember Kenny Pitts come sit right over there the first time. Sit right, looked like a Philadelphia lawyer. I said, I don't know who that guy is, but we need him. He didn't flash his checkbook. He didn't do none of that. He didn't give credentials. But I can remember hearing the holler that come from his lips, the cry that said, I've got as low as I can go. I got that be turned around. And God was bigger than Kenny Pitt's problem. And testify to it today that God is still big. Fred Squire started coming to church, and probably some of his friends said, oh, Fred, you know. But Fred ain't dead, I can tell you that. Hello? Hallelujah to God. Can somebody say, Milton Bennett started coming. Sister Jeannie was not as courageous as he was. She let him come a few times before she come, I think, if I remember right. But I didn't know he could play the horn. I didn't know he could sing. I didn't know he was as smart as he is. But I just knew we needed him. And God puts the puzzle together. And God says that there's a place right there for Betty Forns. Boom. Well, if I bring Betty Forns in there, I better bring Gary. Boom. It would be a shame if God had a place for you and didn't have a place for your companion. If he brought you to this church, he's got a place for you and for your companion and for your neighbor and for your grandchild. He's God. He's bigger than the mess you're going through. Somebody needs to rise up in the power of the Spirit of God and say, I'm not going to put up with the devil's mess no more. How can we get a hold? We need to hear it. How can we hear except it be preached? And how can they preach it unless they be sent? We need to hear what God is doing. We need to hear God is willing. Do you understand that? God is willing. Anybody else like to be picked on? Kenny Smith had medical problems. They had serious stuff, passing out on the highway, jeopardizing his life and other people's life. But today, he's gone through some medical things, but today, he's a handsome young man sitting back there. Amen. Amen. Bigger than the mess that tried to mess him up. The funeral home's calling, figuratively speaking, but God stepped up to the plate and said, when I'm through with you, let him call. Whether you're 40 or 49 or 109, when I'm through with you, let him call. Let him take your body away. But I've got your soul. It's in my care. It's in my care. Hashadabakah. And my God in heaven, do you hear what I'm saying? If God has got my soul in his care, why should I worry about my body? There's going to come a day, if Jesus tarries and the trumpet blows, when my tremors are going to quit. There's going to come a day when my stumbling is going to be over with. There's going to come a day when I'm no longer frustrated and aggravated with the cares of life. I'm going home. We need to see. I need to quit preaching too. We need to see. Let me go. Let me just give you. We need to see the church as God sees the church. There's nothing on this earth like the church. You hear that? Your home may be precious, but it is derived from the church. Nothing. It's the fellowship of the believers. It's like faith coming together. It's bearing one another's burdens. There ain't no place in the church for bellyachers. There ain't no place for fault finders. There ain't no place for those who are cantankerous. If you come in under the blood, you're going to lose that old mess. You're going to cast that out. And you're going to fellowship with the brothers and sisters. I don't care whether you use right God or left God. Amen? Why should we be concerned about the church? Because Jesus bought it. And God brought it.